The weight loss industry is now valued at over $70 billion, and it's making a lot of us unnecessarily hungry, farmers included. We need to talk about feed. I'm Shannon Hayes, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 2 of The Hearth of Sapbush Hollow. Welcome to the Hearth of Sapbush Hollow, chronicles and lessons from a life tied to family, community, and the land. I'm Shannon Hayes, and I operate Sapbush Hollow Farm with three generations of my family in the northern Catskill Mountains of upstate New York, and I'm the chef owner of Sapbush Cafe, a farm-to-table and neighbor-to-neighbor experience open Saturdays 9 to 2 from April through November in our tiny hamlet of West Fulton. I'm also the author of a few books, including Radical Homemakers, The Grass-Fed Gourmet, and Redefining Rich. She seemed so hungry. The email query from last week keeps swishing around my brain. A customer wrote to ask for all the ingredients of our livestock feed. She was looking for chicken that had been fed no corn or soy, and the feed had to be processed in a mill where there was no possibility of wheat chaff residue coming into contact with it. Everything that went into the feed needed to be organic. That's a set of criteria that neither we nor our local farm infrastructure have the resources to meet. I told her so. I suggested, if she was that sensitive to the grains possibly being fed to pigs and chickens, that she go grass-fed and stick to red meats, the herbivores like beef and lamb. Even that suggestion weighed heavily on my conscience. Grass-fed and grass-finished isn't ideal, but grass farmers are on the front line of climate change. They can't always get top-quality hay to keep good condition on their animals in winter, or they're hit with drought in the middle of summer, which limits their access to forage. Sometimes, to keep their animals in good condition, they have to rely on a little feed supplementation. That is nothing like factory-farmed livestock production by any means, but if the customer could not abide any corn, soy, or wheat residue coming into contact with the animal's feed, then she was reliant on the farmer having a perfect season. But that didn't matter. She didn't want to eat red meat anyhow for fear that it would cause cancer. She had read a new diet book that insisted she source her food from farmers who could meet all of the above conditions for food production. She'd been doing a lot of research online, but she wasn't finding much to eat. I can't help but wonder if the sources she was finding were being totally honest with her. But if she could adhere to the highly restrictive diet, the book promised that her cholesterol would be just where the doctor wanted it, and her postmenopausal paunch would melt away. A few weeks in, she really felt she'd seen an improvement. I wasn't sure how she could sustain this, though, over the long haul. She admitted that she was already overspending trying to locate the absolute perfect food sources. For 50 years, I have lived on the land, and for over 30 of them, I've stood across from or answered letters and phone calls from customers on diets. And I'm afraid to say most of them have been women. I guess that's no surprise. In April of 2023, the Wall Street Journal reported that the weight loss industry was valued at $76 billion. And according to a study reported in Elise Lohan's book, On Our Best Behavior, women of all ages report astronomical levels of body dissatisfaction, ranging from a low of 71.9% of women ages 75 and up to a high of 93.2% of women who are between the ages of 25 and 34. I've never doubted the wisdom of switching to real farm-fresh food, to home-cooked meals, to removing processed foods from the diet. But there comes a point where the dietary restrictions put forward in the form of endless and extremely contradictory advice from the weight loss industry overreach a person's ability to feed herself and to enjoy life. There are also legitimate questions about the wisdom of labeling anyone carrying a few extra pounds as a health risk, and that the definition of obesity might need to be revisited, and that all fat may not be equal. Carrying a few extra pounds has been indicated as a reason some folks have better recovery from hip fractures or certain surgical procedures and cancer. There comes a point where the family farmer is simply unable to meet the demands of whatever the latest dietary tome requires of them. As a female farmer, I feel the pressure from all sides. I feel it when I stand on the scale each year for my annual physical and have to listen to the report about pounds gained or lost, with no reminders that I still weigh less than the typical post-adolescent American woman. Psst, by the way, did you know that a typical post-adolescent American woman just shy of 5'4" actually weighs 171 pounds? Just saying. I feel it when I go for my skin cancer screening and listen to the women at the registration desk engaging in confessionals about their cheat days and their self-admonishments if they eat something that they weren't supposed to on a non-cheat day and their plans to atone with extra salad and extra starvation. I feel it when my customers want food from omnivorous animals that contain none of the ingredients that they have currently eliminated from their own diets. I feel it when customers tell me they're going to stop eating eggs for fear of cholesterol. I feel it when they tell me they're going to stop eating our red meats because they think it will cause heart disease and cancer. I feel it when my customers report they're going entirely vegan to be more fit and planet-friendly, with little interest in learning about how our way of farming allows for carbon sequestration and builds soil health and helps nurture biodiversity and keeps the water supply pristine and supplies nutrient-dense food on mountain pastures that could never be sustainably plowed. As women, we are forever being told by our culture that we have to be thinner, and we are forever being sold the next diet plan that's going to make us invincible. And I'm not the only farm woman who goes through this. I listen to my fellow farmers worry about how they look, how their own blood cholesterol and bone density screenings and cancer screenings reflect on the foods they grow and eat and sell, as though the choice to grow and eat real food can only be substantiated if we, as the farm women, never show the signs of age, if our middles never grow thick, our hair never thins, our skin never wrinkles, our bones and joints never grow tired and creaky. I have been in this business long enough to know that these conversations will not stop. There's too much fortune to be had if we, particularly women, I'm afraid, are dissatisfied with our bodies, if we are ashamed of our appetites and fearful of our mortality. I know that there will always be another email asking me to report everything that goes into our feed rations, and there will be another customer who will suddenly inform me that they've given up red meat, or white meat, or all meat, or they've forsaken dessert, or butter, or cheese, or coffee, or something else that has given them deep pleasure in the quest to live on this planet forever, or to fit into their skinny jeans. Some may legitimately discover that they were truly sensitive to certain foods. Others will accumulate a thick dossier of deprivations that may or may not keep them real thin. For those of us who grow the food, we need a thick skin. The diet industry profits when people are afraid to enjoy a good meal, and admittedly, Questions about how we produce our food can be constructive. The push to improve the quality of our feed will eventually lead to a more sustainable, healthier food system. But if we bend to every diet industry dictate, we will soon be out of business. And as for our own eating habits, well, we cannot expect our bodies to defy the aging process. It is normal to put on weight as we age. It's normal for our hair and teeth and skin and bodies to change. And in the end, something is going to get us. But there are many days between now and then. And for farmers to deny ourselves the pleasures of the table is, in my view, to turn our backs on grace, to reject the abundance our life has afforded. As family farmers, life asks much of us, but it does not demand that we go hungry. Eat up. Enjoy what your life has to offer. Sapbush Cafe is now open for the season and has a new home on the web. You can find it at sapbushfarmstore.com/cafe. There you can check out our menu, see the weekly prefix special, and learn more about us. We look forward to serving you every Saturday from 9 to 2 through the last Saturday before Thanksgiving. And we've been glad to hear folks' enthusiasm for the new EV chargers in the cafe and honor store parking lot. We have a few more weeks to go before the utility company approves and activates them. So please be patient. Very soon, if you come to the cafe, or if you want to visit the honor store, or have a picnic out by the creek, or you want to stay in the Airbnbs or take a hike in the area, you will have a place to charge your electric vehicles. In other news, Sapbush is now shipping our meats. For $150 flat fee, we will ship throughout the Northeast. So, the more you order, the more you save. For folks who would like to be able to recognize greater savings buying our whole halves and quarter animals, but who lack the freezer space, we now have a new meat subscription program where the cuts are delivered to your door each month, and you can pause or cancel the service anytime. Read more about it at sapbushfarmstore.com/meatbymonth. Our online website is also stocked with our eggs, wool blankets and comforters, and wool yarn. If you're in the area, feel free to drop by the honor store any time of the day or night, located in the little red shed at the back of the cafe parking lot. The address is 832 West Fulton Road, West Fulton, New York. And woohoo! Very soon you're going to be able to charge your car while there. If you'd like to come see us for a getaway, our farm-to-table retreat on Panther Creek and Tibbetts House across the street are both taking bookings through Airbnb. And if you want to subscribe to the digital newsletter or stay on top of cafe and farm specials and farm happenings, or just follow my musings on the blog when the podcast goes silent in the fall and winter and get Ula's hand-drawn postcards in the mail and receive our CSA flyers, then send me an email with your snail mail address and full contact info to shannon@sapbush.com. If you enjoy this, please take a few minutes to leave a review. This helps other folks to find my work. And please share this podcast with friends and family to get the ideas to spread. Better still, you can help make the magic happen for as little as $1 a month by hopping over to Patreon and looking up Shannon Hayes. Or, if it's easier, you can also donate to support the podcast by sending a check payable to Shannon Hayes, care of Sapbush Hollow Farm, 832 West Fulton Road, West Fulton, New York, 12194. And it's a really important thing to do because all of this, the podcast, the blog, the books, and the creative recharging that happens over fall and winter are a result of the support of my patrons on Patreon. And this week, I'd like to send a shout out to my patrons Yvain Melito and Amy Renaud. Thank you, folks. I could not do it without you. In case you were wondering, this podcast was produced and edited by the sexiest man alive, my husband Bob Hooper, and the great music we're listening to comes to us from Emery. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.